RCR with Paul Brennan.
Federated farmers recently sat down for an urgent meeting with the Climate Minister, Simon Watts, over the government's new climate target. Also at that meeting, Agriculture Minister Todd McClay and Rural MP Mike Butterick. They were expressing concerns about the government's climate target and its impact on farmers. And joining us to talk about this, Federated Farmers National Board member Mark Hooper. Mark, thanks for coming into RCR today.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Were you at the meeting yourself?
I was indeed, yes.
Okay. Do you want to describe how it went for us before we get into some of the meat?
Yeah, well, I guess it became a little bit of the headline issue itself because obviously there'd been a lot of media in terms of pressure on Minister Watts as to why he hadn't previously met with the sector. And so it was an opportunity to kind of clear the air there and to establish that there had actually been a formal meeting. Of course, our argument all along was, you know, why didn't some of this consultation happen before the release of the nationally determined contributions, which was the big commitment that he made a week or 10 days or so ago. And you know, the minister had previously said that he'd had contact with us, which was true, but we'd put in a couple of formal requests late last year, seeking an opportunity to sit down with him and talk about our concerns about this looming deadline in terms of the international climate targets. And that hadn't happened. And so that's where there was a little bit of a gap there. And so this meeting was largely an opportunity to create some clarity around that and to discuss what the concerns and things were. So it was a really an opening meeting in that sense. It was an opportunity to hear both from the Minister of Agriculture and from the Minister for Climate Change in terms of what their positions were, why they had arrived at where they'd got to. And it was our opportunity to really express what were the concerns of farmers and what we felt the impact on our sector was, and just to make our respective positions really clear to each other.
Why do you think there wasn't a go to farmers, the farming sector, right off the bat, given there's, and everyone knows it, quite an association over many years, political association, between, I guess, the way farmers think and the way the National Party have promoted themselves in terms of their politics. You would have thought farmers were the first port of call. Can we explain that?
Yeah. Well, as I say, and this was where there was a little bit of confusion, I guess, in some of the other media that had pressed the minister on this issue as well, because he claimed that, of course, that there was contact with Federated Farmers, which is true because, in a sense, you know, Federated Farmers does have a high level of engagement with government at officials level across a number of MPs, particularly with the Minister of Agriculture's office. So that sort of thing is happening on a regular basis. Minister Watts had been to some events that Federated Farmers was associated with.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that could affect not only the livelihoods of farmers in New Zealand, but all New Zealanders. This is serious stuff.
It is indeed.
You need it straight up front, don't you?
Yeah, you do. So I guess from the government's perspective there, the nationally determined contributions, which are part of our contribution towards the Paris Climate Accord, is market sensitive information. So in that sense, they are a little bit cautious in terms of who they speak to about that. But our argument, of course, is we didn't necessarily need to know the detail of what they were going to be talking about or what they were going to release, but we definitely needed, as you're expressing there, to be involved in some kind of consultation process so that we had the ability to express what the concerns of the sector were. And I think you've really hit on the key point there, because there's a number of government policy issues which underlie our second emissions reduction budget, which is the budget that is looks to work towards achieving the nationally determined contributions. And a large majority of those policies have either a direct or indirect impact on the agricultural sector. So you're right in that sense. There is a huge impact, and it's quite far-reaching in terms of its implications.
Okay, so what is the minister's rationale for signing us up to these strict new targets given? And many people are talking about this. The Trump administration is now pulling out of the Paris Climate Agreement. I think Argentina's talking about it and other nations, this thing could be dead on arrival, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the big underlying issue, and certainly, you know, we wouldn't disagree with any of that kind of framing of the argument. The reality of the situation from the government's perspective is that they don't have an election mandate around pulling out of that agreement, and also they, from their perspective, you know, New Zealand is a trade-dependent country, and they're concerned about the implications of some of our free trade agreements and other international agreements that we have. So that's their position, that's their view on it, and so they're kind of holding to that. And, you know, as I say, I think that where New Zealand as a whole stands in terms of the overall Paris Agreement, that's probably going to be an election issue. And so we're going to see where that progresses. And this is the thing, the challenge that we've got as an organisation, Federated Farmers, is that whilst we agree, you know, that might be a strategy going forward in terms of where some of the political parties put their positioning and how that lands them going into the next general election. In the meantime, we've got this legislative environment that we've got to try and work in to get the best outcome as possible for our sector. And at the moment, you know, the impact is potentially huge on our sector. So we want to try and negotiate our way through that. Which is quite challenging because obviously the minister's gone out there publicly now with that, and he's not likely to back down on that position. He's going to stand by it, and so we have to do quite a lot of work behind the scenes.
When you say stand by, what's he standing by? Because, you know, regardless of what people say, no science is settled here, absolutely none, particularly when it comes to agriculture and agriculture's contributions to emissions. None of it's decided. So we can't be having a play act here, can we? We've got to work with the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I would agree. And this has been part of our underlying argument all along in terms of particularly the biogenic methane emissions. And, you know, the impact of those from New Zealand's perspective is, you know, almost unmeasurable. Mm. That would be the fundamental argument there, taking that approach. But I guess the thing that the government would ask, and it's not my job to try and defend the government. I'm not necessarily this is right at all. I'm just saying that what they relayed to us is that these are what they believe their international responsibilities are, and this is what they felt that the agreement indicated that they had to do in terms of being progressive in setting a new 2035 target compared to a 2030 target, which we previously had. And, you know, their argument is that they've only shifted that 1% over a 5-year longer time period. Now, yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's where they're standing on it.
What does it mean regarding what New Zealand farmers have to do to meet, 1% extra, but the targets? What do you have to do?
Yeah, so that's where I guess our real nitty-gritty kicks in for us, because obviously the implications or the underlying modelling that lead to the, working towards that target sees, an additional potentially 750,000 hectares of additional exotic pine planting. Its modelling assumes about 18% less fewer sheep and beef stock units, maybe about 12% less dairy cows. There's quite a high level of expectations around increased renewable energy, which is solar and wind, which is, you know, takes up often good agricultural class 1 and 2 land. There's the policy around additional planting on Crown land, which supposedly has low conservation value. Well, you know, we lost that from grazing in the 10-year reviews back in the last sort of decade or so. People would argue we should be putting that back into grazing, not back into trees. There's the expectation that, of course, we should adopt methane inhibitors. And all of these are, you know, super sensitive issues on their own. And that's fundamentally, I guess, what we've got to do is we've got to try and work through with the minister and say, hey, you know, these are massively detrimental both to the sector and New Zealand as a whole. We've got to come up with alternative strategies. These are not acceptable.
Can you just briefly explain what this split gas thing is? Have you been ignored over that? And please, can you explain what the policy is here, read this, and if there's a difference, why there's a difference?
Yeah, okay. So what we do, we have as New Zealand, we have a split gas domestic target. So in the Climate Change Response Act, we have a net zero target at 2050 for long-lived gases, so net zero being the target, and for short-lived gases, which is mainly biogenic methane from ruminant animals, we have currently a 24% to 47% gross reduction. So that's what we mean by a split gas approach, where you have a different approach depending on the nature of the gas. Now, of course, you know, there's all the, as you mentioned before, there's all the science and semantics behind it, but that is what it is. That's our legislative framework that we've got at present. The target that has been announced and that we're speaking about here, the 51% to 55% reduction by 2035, is what's called an all gas target. So essentially what you've done is you've bundled all of those gases up together and have one target for that. Now, our view is that we should be operating the same as we do in our domestic level, and we should have a split gas international targets as well, which helps to identify some of the characteristics that are quite different between a long-lived gas and a methane gas, and we handle them. So this would fit into the Paris Climate Agreement by saying this is the unique feature of New Zealand, and the agreement does allow for countries to adapt their nationally determined contributions based on their uniqueness. And we would argue this is our unique profile, and we should be doing this differently.
Okay, re-meetings, regular meetings. I think the minister has agreed to, and you might have mentioned that just before. Do you have confidence that he and they will follow through?
Well, we have confidence, yes, in terms of getting regular meetings and a lot better engagement and the opportunity to discuss. And the minister has already committed to another meeting next week when we have our respective industry council groups are in Wellington, and particularly our sheep and beef council group of farmers representing our provinces from around the country in terms of hill country farmers. They're in Wellington. Minister's going to meet with them. They're the ones that are feeling the heat the most in terms of this, so you can be sure that they're going to give them a pretty hard time around this. They would disagree strongly with any impact that methane from their sector is having, and they're feeling like they're taking the brunt of the change required. So they're going to be pushing back pretty hard. But I think, yeah, there's a lot of technical stuff that lies behind this. We're concerned about some of the modelling that has gone into how it achieves the targets. And so those are the kind of technical things that we want to meet more regularly with the minister with and see if we can discuss some different strategies that might help to, you know, keep us where we need to be in terms of our international agreements. But we've got to kind of pull back on the potential impact somehow because it's just too significant.
The modelling always comes first, doesn't it, Mark?
Well,
And then
that's
it's shown to
it's
be
been the
wanting. We've
yeah.
found out it shows to be wanting.
Absolutely.
Sea level rise. How many would die in COVID? You
Yeah.
know, it's a great on-ramp for persuasion, but it doesn't necessarily hold up, does it?
No, not at all. And yeah, it's it kind of, as you say, it underpins a lot of the ideology here, and it's the modelling that's underpinning where we're at with those targets as well. And so, yeah, I think there's quite a considerable opportunity to challenge some of that.
Last question, real quick. You can answer it. Maybe you don't want to answer it, but come election time, parties that are saying we need to be out of the Paris Agreement, are they going to do better in terms of farmers or consideration of voting, let's say, at this stage, than a party that's all in on Paris Agreement? What's your call on that, do you think?
Yeah, well, I've no, it's a really good question actually, because you're probably aware that just in the last few days, the Courier poll came out and showed, you know, that currently the left of centre parties could form the next government, and so it's hard to see from there. You know, obviously there's a bit of a flip around of voters, very much in that centrist area that have maybe gone from National across to Labor or whatever the case might be. And it's not clear that there's a big trend towards ACT or New Zealand First who have made that indication. So it's a little bit hard to read, but probably, you know, it's only been talked about loosely at this stage, so it's a bit early to make a call on that.
All right, Mark Hooper, Board Member of Federated Farmers. Thanks for coming on RCR, Mark.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.